live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. We've been living on planes, of course. Last week, we were covering all the events in the Middle East from, of course, that newsbed capital of the world, Anguilla in the Caribbean. But living in the global village, we really were on top of that. And then back and forth on airplanes. Hey, by the way, did you have a good Valentine's Day? Was it fun? I hope you didn't send flowers. I hope you didn't send chocolates. The most unoriginal two ideas on the planet. You know where I spent Valentine's Day? Stuck at the airport. All right, you're not alone, folks. I got back to New York at around midnight on a flight that was supposed to leave at 3:40 in the afternoon from Miami. So no flowers, no chocolates, not even a photograph of flowers or chocolates for me. So you feeling sorry for me? Well, don't, because let me tell you where we are right now. We are, get out your maps, 30 degrees, 23 minutes north, 95 degrees, 41 minutes west. We are at a place called La Toretta. It's a lake resort and spa in Lake Conroe, Texas, and you don't know where that is. I'm going to tell you where we are, about an hour north of Houston, Texas, a place where I used to live. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you hang it through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. So many stories to talk about this week. Of course, the continuing fallout from the revolution in Egypt. Now, the good news is the dictator's left. The bad news is now what do they do? But, of course, the ripple effect is everywhere in Yemen, in Bahrain, to a certain extent in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon. And let us keep in mind that our democracy may not ever be their democracy. Two different definitions of the word, but what's going on now is certainly fascinating to watch and even to participate in. And if you read my blog on our website, petergreenberg.com, or even on CBS website, you'll see my point of attack here is the best time to go to Egypt is right now. The best time to go anywhere in that region is right now. Why? Because they all depend so intensely on travel and tourism that their economy took a $1.5 billion hit, and that, by the way, is a conservative estimate. They can't handle that. They need you. They need those jobs. They need that foreign exchange, and they will be thrilled to have you. A couple of friends of mine took my advice, went to the pyramids earlier this week, and called me to say, guess what? They were the only ones there. And boy, did they have a great time. You know, you alone at the Sphinx, there's a lot to be said for that. And never felt any safety problems whatsoever. Everything was discounted, and everybody was thrilled to see them. I rest my case. So obviously we'll be talking about that later in the show and continuing to cover the story because it's not going anywhere. It's only going to get more interesting. But my philosophy is this. Anytime you want to visit a country, you go after a political disturbance, a civil unrest, a natural disaster, and it's a win-win for everybody because they'll be happy to see you. You'll be helping their economy. In many cases, you'll be physically helping to help rebuild. And better service, better deals, and bottom line, a better experience. I mentioned at the top, we're about an hour north of Houston, Texas. Many years ago, I lived in Houston, Texas, and I lived there in the summer. Now you're really going to have to feel sorry for me. I lived there before they had the tunnels and the bridges. It was so hot. I remember it was so hot in August that I took my bed in my apartment, and I put it up on cinder blocks so it would actually be even with the air conditioner. So that I slept with the air conditioner in my face. I didn't care about pneumonia. I didn't care about dying. I didn't care about a stiff neck. I had to have cool. And for those people who know Houston, my apartment was about four blocks away from the Galleria. And what was the Galleria known for? An ice skating rink. So I would go over there just to hang out next to the rink to get cool. I don't even ice skate. And then one day, I was so crazed about the heat. I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm making a command decision. I'm going to get in my car and head south on I-45 until I find water. So I got in my car, and I headed south. And about an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours later, I came smack in front of Galveston. And I took one look at that beach, and I said, I never even got out of the car. I turned around, and I headed back. And I'm sorry, folks in Galveston, if you're mad at me for saying this, but you have a pretty ugly beach. And every once in a while, about every 20 years, a hurricane comes in and does its best to clean it up. But I have to tell you, it's one ugly beach. And now I've turned the table because I landed in Houston this time around, and I didn't go south on 45. I went north. And about an hour away, I'm right here in Lake Conroe. And for those people who don't think there's a lot of body of water in Texas, catch this. 157 miles of shoreline on Lake Conroe and stocked with bass, marinas, boats. I'm a happy guy. Who knew? So I know I'm going to be getting letters from Galveston for the next three years. But you know what? Too bad, guys. When you clean it up, I'll be the first one to go back down there. Having said south, I did spend time in south in Padre Island. Gorgeous. A national seashore. Not far from Corpus Christi, another interesting Texas city, which decides every 3 years, let's build as close as we can to the water line so when the hurricane comes in, we can rebuild again. It's true. I talked to five people in Corpus Christi who've rebuilt five times. Like, did you not get the memo? Well, they must be the poster children for FEMA at this point. And they have their own personalized trailer. But in any case, bottom line is, if you want to get surprised, head north of Houston about an hour, and you'll get to Lake Conroe, which is where we are right now. Lots of other stuff in the news I got to talk about. United Airlines earlier this week doing something unthinkable in the airline business, voluntarily grounding all 96 of their 757s. They didn't wait for the FAA to do it. They did it. Now, before you go out and congratulate United, remember this. The FAA issues something called airworthiness directives, which says we found a problem, we know what the fix is, and you have X number of days to fix it or you can't fly. And apparently United Airlines had an aha moment earlier this week when they realized they'd been given all this time to fix something and they hadn't done it. And the deadline was like now. So rather than risk getting slapped big time from the FAA, they grounded all their planes for about 24 hours and the good news is they're all back up and flying, and they've all been inspected, but there are some lessons there, which I will be talking about at length in subsequent shows. But it's almost unheard of that an airline would voluntarily ground its entire fleet of a particular aircraft type, considering what the economic impact of that is. So very interesting developments this week. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our good friend, a regular on the show, Scott McCartney, the travel editor for the Wall Street Journal. We're going to talk about... oh, God, another program I love. Frequent flyer programs and the absurdity of those. Back with more from La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Conroe, Texas, right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg with you here from the La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa. And you know, I said we're coming from Lake Conroe, Texas. Well, we're on the lake, but we're actually in Montgomery, Texas. And it's Texas's third oldest town. A lot of history here. We'll be talking about that, of course, but taking your calls in the meantime, 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. And you should really sign up for our free newsletter. You just go to petergreenberg.com for that. We update it daily. It's delivered straight to your email box. And It's got all of our stuff archived in there. Because remember, travel is news, but if you can't remember the past, you're going to repeat it. And somebody who does remember the past, who's on the line with us right now, a good friend of the show and a regular, the travel editor of the Wall Street Journal, our good pal, Scott McCartney. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Peter. Welcome to Texas.
I know. You're just up the block, aren't you?
Yeah, just up the road. Sort of.
Sort of.
A couple hundred miles.
A couple hundred miles. In Texas, that's what? that's an overnight.
That's stop by for dinner.
Stop by for dinner, you bet. So pretty wild week in the airline business with United Airlines grounding those 757s. And of course, we've also seen some movement in the frequent flyer programs where Southwest Airlines, a Texas-based airline, revamped their program. And Delta did something which seems, at least on the surface, to be a good move for travelers.
Well, I think it is a good move. Delta eliminated the expiration dates on their frequent flyer miles. Before, miles would expire after 2 years if you didn't have any activity in your account. It caught a lot of people, makes them furious when the airline just grabs the miles and takes them away from you. And I think Delta realized that it was a major irritant, and they auto eliminated it. It's a sign that they're trying to do something right, I think.
All right, but can I be devil's advocate for a second?
Sure.
If it's virtually impossible to redeem your miles, then there's no point in having an expiration date because you will expire before the miles are redeemed.
Well, that's true. I think Delta is making a conscious effort. My conversations with them. To improve their redemption. They really got hammered in earlier studies, and we reported on it. People have had a terrible time redeeming with Delta. They're trying to change that. One sign, Delta had stopped reporting redemption activity. Everybody else reports it every year, how many awards were redeemed, what percentage of your passenger traffic is on frequent flyer tickets. And they have now restarted reporting that. And I think that's because we're going to see those levels come up some.
But again, to be devil's advocate, how much could they come up if they're already filling 87% of their seats on average? They're effectively flying full anyway. So what's their incentive for, you know, displacing revenue passengers by giving away a quote-unquote free ticket?
Well, there is an incentive. The incentive is that the accounting rules have changed, and frequent flyer miles on your books are a bigger liability than they used to be. So there is an incentive to get rid of them. There's also an incentive since Delta got $500 million from American Express for the pre-sale of frequent flyer miles. And I think if you're a credit card company, Citibank's done it with American and others, you're trying to give your customers a loyalty reward that's worth something. If people can't use their Delta miles, then American Express is going to find that there's not much value to all those miles that they've pre-bought. And so American Express can pressure them into doing something better.
Well, you're right about that. They're trying to figure out other ways for people to redeem miles other than by giving them tickets. And the one that makes me laugh, and I hope I'll get you to laugh out of this one too, Scott, is on one of the Delta redemption opportunities for, I think it's about 7,000 or maybe 8,000 miles, they'll let you redeem that for a box of Godiva chocolates. Now, let me tell you what we did. We found out what the Godiva chocolates retail for. They retail for under $40. How many dollars did you spend to get to 8,000 miles?
Yes.
But it gets better, though. I'm going to get you to really laugh now. We counted the number of chocolates in that box. It came to 18. We figured out you spent $4,200 effectively to get that box of chocolates. And 18 into 4,200... I hope you enjoy your bonbons.
Those are expensive bonbons.
I got you to laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of the redemption programs, and you can get gift cards, you can get just about anything with frequent flyer miles, but you're absolutely right. It's not very good value. About, on average, I think about half a cent a mile. You certainly ought to be able to get a penny per mile value out of frequent flyer points. Out of some of the hotel programs, you can do 2 cents a mile or better if you use them for upgrades and things like that. If you're smart about how you redeem, you can really do better. But turning your miles into chocolate is not a very rewarding way to go.
Yes, Willy Wonka, mega frequent flyer. Let's move on, because Delta did something that you actually liked and that I actually liked. They're actually giving you a little bit more room and coach on the long haul.
Yeah, they're going to start putting in premium economy cabins on their long-haul international flights. A lot of international airlines have done this. It seems to be very popular. It's basically what coach used to be in the good old days when you actually had room for your legs. And on some airlines, not on Delta, but on some airlines, the seats in premium economy cabins are a little wider. Sometimes you get better food service. It's a choice between business class, which is very expensive, and coach, which is very cheap. But I think it's a reasonable choice. It's a good choice, a good option for people to have. And some other news this week on the same front. United has decided to keep its premium economy cabin and expand it into the Continental Airlines planes. And so we're seeing a few moves by airlines to, you could say, they made coach so uncomfortable they had to do something, and now we have to pay extra for what used to be considered reasonable coach. But at least we have more options.
And the nice thing about the Delta thing is if you're one of their premium flyers, one of your elite mileage people, they'll let you have that for free. They'll put you in that cabin for free.
Yeah, that's right. And the upgrades, I think they top out if you're not an elite level member and you have to pay, it tops out at about $180 or so. That's actually significantly less than some of the competitors, Virgin, British Airways, Qantas, others who are doing premium economy. So I think it's going to be kind of reasonably priced. I think one of the reasons why Delta will be cheaper is it's really, I don't think, going to be as nice a product as you get on, say, Virgin, where you do get a wider seat.
Sure.
But at least you get 4 inches more legroom and a little bit more recline to the seat. That's the difference between sleeping and not sleeping on a long flight, or working or not being able to open your laptop. I think that's a good way to go.
Well, I think if they really want to be doing truth in advertising, they should have four classes of service. Are you ready? First, business, premium economy, and deep vein thrombosis.
Yeah, it's. I mean, 31-inch seat pitch for a 10-hour flight is, it is.
It's
really
cruel and
tough.
Unusual punishment.
Yeah, yeah, and you have to, you do have to wonder, and some people may be upset and say, well, you're making me pay extra for what you should have provided in the first place. But it is what it is today, and people want cheap tickets, and that's kind of where we are.
One other piece of news on the business front. This week, United and Delta, two of the airlines that handed out huge profit-sharing checks to their employees in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, they did. They had good years last year. Every major airline last year made money and made significant money, except for American Airlines. They still lost more than $400 million last year. But United profits more than $800 million. Delta, I think, was north of $500 million. It's a big turnaround after years of losing billions and billions of dollars.
And they didn't earn that money because of just airfares. They earned that money because of check bags and ancillary fees.
Well, that's right. In fact, at a carrier like U.S. Airways, basically the entire profit comes from baggage fees, cancellation or change fees. All of that extra revenue, and I think you can pretty well make that case certainly at United. It's a model that's working for airlines, at the end of the day, airlines have to make money. They have to be able to invest in new aircraft. Travelers want that. All that's a good thing for travelers ultimately.
And another good thing for travelers, the Wall Street Journal Guide to Power Travel, written by guess who? Scott McCartney. Scott, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon. You got it. Have fun in Texas, as I am. We'll be back with more from the La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on this mid-February weekend. Coming to you from the Toretta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. If you don't know where that is, it's in Montgomery, Texas. And if you don't know where that is, we're about an hour north of Houston, Texas, a city in which I used to live many moons ago. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. When you can't get through on the phones, you can always email me. That's to Peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. And when I did live in Houston many moons ago, let me describe the food to you. Deep fried. Barbecue bad. Well, times have changed, and Houston has certainly moved way up in the world of culinary experiences. And if you're a true gastronome and you happen to find yourself in Lake Conroe, Texas, or in Montgomery where we are right now, you would be surprised, as I was, to walk around this resort, a relatively new resort, and see a name that I recognized, but not from here, but from London. Chez Roux, otherwise known as the Master Chef Albert Roux, who I've been to his restaurants throughout the United Kingdom, and now he's got one right here. And joining me now, the executive head chef in the most, for me, unlikely but pleasantly surprising location, Matthew Gray. How are you, man?
I'm very well.
And, of course, you're not from Texas at all.
I am not. I'm a Scotsman.
I couldn't tell. From where?
Just outside Glasgow originally.
And you were working at the castle over there.
I was working in a place called Fort William, a castle in Bullochy Castle, and I was the executive chef there for 9 years. And Chef Roux approached me and asked me if I wanted to come to Texas, and here I am.
Well, I have fond memories of Fort William, and I'll tell you why. I was at a small inn called the Arisaig Inn.
I know it.
And this was many, many years ago, and I was in the phone booth trying to use my laptop to send, you know, with the old acoustic couplers, trying to send my column into the Los Angeles Times, and all of a sudden it was about 11:30, quarter of 12 at night, and there was a little tap on the phone booth window, and it was the wife of the owner who said, are you going to be finished soon? I went, oh, do you need the phone booth? No, we'd like to invite you into the bar. We'd like to buy you a drink. And I didn't see what was coming. So I said, okay. So I go into the bar. Right, and the minute I walked in the bar, there was a fiddler there, and people were smoking, and they're just singing songs. And I walk in, and the place was jammed. It was a public bar at the hotel. The private bar was empty, but the public bar was jammed. And I walk in at about 12:30 in the morning, and the place erupts with applause for me. I don't get it, right? And now everybody's buying me a drink. The rest of the story, Matt, I can only explain it to you as it was later told to me.
Sure.
Apparently, within 45 minutes, I was standing on the table with an accordion strapped on, leading them in Gaelic folk songs. Okay, and an hour after that, I was so stiff that I couldn't move. I was sitting in a chair, completely stiff, drunk. And I was leaving the next morning, early the next morning on a ferry to, come on, Fort William. Was that?
Yeah.
Well, they knew I was going on the ferry, and. But all I know is I wake up at around 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sort of swaying to the left and to the right, and I wake up and I open my eyes. I'm on the ferry, and I'm still sitting in the chair from the bar on the ferry.
Wow.
What they had done is they went up to my room, they packed me up, they took the chair, put it on the back of a pickup truck. This is like the weekend at Bernie's, you know, and took me to the ferry, put me on the ferry, and under my arm on the ferry was a wooden box, and in it was a bottle of Glenlivet As We Get It, which comes straight from the cask at 106 proof. And that's what they had been buying me. Now, I still couldn't figure out why they would have done all that and bought me all those drinks. Was it just great Scottish hospitality? Matt, it was not. There was a little-known law there in Scotland that said if you're a public bar inside a hotel, you have to close at 1 o'clock in the morning unless there's a foreign guest at the bar. They all conspired to get me in the bar because as long as I was there, they could be there. You know what? Loved it. Loved it. So how'd you get here?
Chef Roux approached me when I was at Inverlochy Castle. I had done a number of events and gala dinners with Chef Roux, and we struck up a good friendship. And in January 2009, he approached me and asked me if I was interested in coming to Texas.
But I mean, did he wake up one day and just said, I can't wait to go to Texas? I mean, this is a rather interesting, bold move for him.
Yes, the reason he's here really is that his one of his good friends is one of the investors in the resort, and this gentleman has been a fantastic customer of Le Gavroche for many years in London, and therefore he wanted to open a fine dining restaurant on the property.
See, now I have to date myself. I have to date myself. The last time I was in Le Gavroche, you know who was sitting next to me? Princess Di.
Wow.
She used to come in there all the time.
Yep, she was a regular.
I know.
She was.
Amazing. And that restaurant's still around, isn't it?
It's fantastic. And it's even in a massive global downturn, Le Gavroche always seems to be with the restaurant that bucks the trend, and it is always busy, busy, busy.
Now, when you were at the castle,
yeah,
you smoke your own salmon?
Yes, we did.
Did you make gravlax?
Yes, we did.
With the dill sauce?
Yep.
Okay. You know what? Just because you said that, I'm going to let you stay for another segment, because we got to talk about the food here.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Yeah, of course I will.
Okay. Will you say things like great and brill?
I'll try.
I think you're good. All right. We're joined by Matthew Gray, the executive head chef at Che Roux, right here at La Tirada Lake Resort and Spa. The most unlikely but pleasantly surprising location of a restaurant like that I can think of. You know what? It's not just surf and turf. Or in Texas, turf. We'll be back with more from Lake Conroe and Montgomery, Texas, right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 43 after the hour. Peter Greenberg here with you. We've been joined by Matthew Gray, the great and brilliant executive head chef. You like that when I say that? Great and brilliant. Okay. At Che Roux right here at the La Tirada Resort. I should also say, I basically buried the lead here. You're the only Michelin star chef in Texas?
Yeah, as far as we know, yes, I think I am. I had a Michelin star at Inverlochy Castle for 9 years before I came here. So
you brought the star with you?
It doesn't, as such, it doesn't come with you. They don't transfer, but I had one in my own right for 9 years, so it's a good selling point, we hope.
No, not bad. But let's talk about the cuisine, because you're coming from Scotland.
Yeah.
Now you're in Texas.
Yeah.
How do you source everything?
I mean, it's great. You know, there's some fantastic produce in Texas, some local suppliers. The beef over here is fantastic. I know.
Well, that part we got.
We got that already. Right. But, Scotland is famous for its beef as well. But the beef is fantastic. Valentine's weekend, last weekend that you discussed earlier, we had some fantastic Texas oysters, really, really large, fantastic shellfish. So the produce is good, and everything's available. I mean, it's America, so everything's there, and you can get it from somewhere.
You source it, right?
Yeah.
You fly it in.
Well, unfortunately, sometimes that's what has to happen.
Sure. Where's the salmon come from?
Salmon. I buy Scottish salmon.
I knew you were going to say that.
Loch Duirt, organic salmon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wild salmon.
Yeah, and to be frank, I'm probably paying the same amount of money that I was paying for a home. So, and it's a farm product, but it is organic and it's fantastic.
Now, do you smoke your own salmon here?
Here, not really. No, we don't. It was something we did a lot at in Inverlochy. We used to do maybe 20 or 30 sides a week, but here at the moment, we don't.
What's the most unusual dish that you have here that would not necessarily be for the Texas palate, but they've discovered it?
I would have to say it was probably one of Chef Roux's signature dishes is the souffle suissesse.
Say that once again. Don't say it three times, please.
Souffle suissesse.
Which means?
It's a cheese souffle. It used to be cooked in heavy cream, but in Texas we changed it slightly and we do it in a corn cream. And we use Texas gold cheddar with it. And it goes down very well. People love it. It's one of his signature dishes that I keep on at the restaurant. It's on the menu all the time.
So no cholesterol whatsoever?
Not much.
Liar.
Hey.
Liar.
If it tastes good, it's not good for you.
Oh, great. So I should bring,
no, I'm kidding.
So I should bring my stretcher to the restaurant.
You know what I mean.
Sure. What's the one dish you put on the menu here that you thought would go through the roof and nobody ordered it, or the one dish you thought nobody's going to try this and they can't get enough of it?
It's It's difficult. You know, fine dining is still new in Texas, in this part of Texas, in Houston, as you alluded to earlier.
In Houston? Did you say Houston?
Yeah, well, Houston. I used to go to a place called Houston, but I was at school there.
In Scotland?
High school in Scotland, So sometimes pork sells well. I'll braise pork cheeks, and that sells very, very well. Veal sweetbreads sell very well, which I was quite surprised about, actually. I didn't know if people were that adventurous. With working anywhere, once you've been there for a while, you get a good balance and a good idea of what people will buy.
Because when you're in Texas, somebody says, oh, let's be bold. How about armadillo for dinner? Or how about snake? You know,
I would have absolutely no idea what to do with it. Hand in my heart.
So basically, we're not going to find that on your menu.
We're not. I think Chef Roo might string me up for that as well.
And then you'll be on the menu.
Yeah.
That's right. it's Matthew Green. It tastes just like chicken. I got it. In a place like this, because it's a great surprise to see this restaurant here. Hmm. And I just discovered quite by accident walking around the hotel. Wait a minute, what's that doing here? Right?
Oh, sure.
Local crowd.
We have some regular guests that travel from Houston, so they'll make the hour, sometimes hour and a half journey to come and see us. We get a few expats that know the name. Brits that
they'll find
here,
you out.
Or
they'll
Europeans,
check it out.
They hear the name.
What about wine? Because in the recession, what I noticed is, of course, nobody's buying the $500 bottle of wine anymore. They're buying the $100 bottle or the $80 bottle of wine.
No, sure.
Is that coming back? Slowly.
Yes and no. I think it's all coming back. I think the worldwide economy is coming back, and people are beginning to dine out a bit more. I think price is key, and the price point that you charge is key, and it seems very, very more important here in Texas. From my experience in Scotland, people are watching the price.
As opposed to Scotland, where they're considered to be cheap?
No, we're not cheap. That's just a vicious, malicious rumor.
And on that note, Mr. Gray, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I'm looking forward to having dinner with you later.
Great. No,
yeah. Veal cheeks and a bottle of your best Margot.
I'm sure we've got some Margot.
Okay. Back with more from La Torreta right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the La Torreta Lake Resort and Spa right here in Lake Conroe, Texas. So far, I'll make you a bet you've never heard of this hotel, and most of you have never heard of the lake. So it's a first time for everybody here. And yet, that is a perfect introduction for my next guest, the editor of Oyster.com, because they specialize in places you've never heard about but need to know. Her name, Jennifer Garfinkel. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. So I'm coming from a hotel and resort that you probably have not been to. Am I right?
That is correct.
All right. Well, maybe you should come. It's a big place.
We will definitely put it on our list. We would love to check it out.
I know. But, you know, in going through your list of places that, you know, hotels that you've never heard of, you've got a couple, don't you?
We do have a few. We definitely do.
Like?
Well, so to back up for a second, we aren't necessarily going to exotic destinations just yet. We are going to places that we've all heard of, but we're sort of finding the special hidden gem hotels in those big cities. So, we've covered the U.S. and the Caribbean, but even in a place like Los Angeles or New York, we're able to find some really great hotels, again, that you probably haven't heard of. So, for example, one that we love is in L.A. It's called Maison 140. It's in Beverly Hills. And Maison 140 is a great 43-room boutique hotel. And the interiors were designed by Kelly Wurstler, who is a former Playboy bunny turned interior designer. And her stuff is just really, really sexy, as you might imagine, which is, of course, appropriate, but really, really well done. And so the interiors of this little boutique hotel are just, again, really dark, really sexy, really, really well done. What we love about it is that every single guest room is different in the decor. So no two rooms are alike. You'll never get the same room twice. You never know what you're going to get. So I really like that about the hotel. Each hotel room is really bright, colorful, crazy, wacky patterns. So it's a really fun hotel. In the lobby, there's a great bar to sort of match the decor. So really, really great find. Just a few blocks from Rodeo Drive, yet it's not one of the big-name hotels that everybody knows in L.A. So it's a great option. Especially for couples, it's definitely kind of romantic,
sure.
Kind of sexy.
And then you found a hotel in New York, and I live in New York as well as L.A. I didn't know about Maison 140, and I certainly didn't know about the Marcel. Tell me about that.
I love the Marcel Hotel because it is somewhere between Gramercy Park and Murray Hill, so it's not in an area where most travelers or tourists would stay. And so you're removed from Times Square. You're removed from the crazy hustle and bustle. And it is just a really great small hotel with great design. The rooms are really modern and sleek looking, really attractive. And one of my favorite things about the Marcel Hotel is that it's attached to Enoteca, which is a great Italian restaurant in New York City. The original is on the Lower East Side, but there's also one in this neighborhood. And so that's great for the guests to have that right there, to have the restaurant, and it's also a wine bar. So that's attached to the hotel. So that's a great perk as well.
Now, in Las Vegas, you know, they're always the high-rise hotels, the big iconic hotels. They're, you know, the Bellagio and, of course, the newer ones like the Palms and of course, the next door to the Venetian, their annex, if you will, and, of course, the Wynn. And,
sure.
But then you found one called the Rumor.
Yes, Rumor is a great option. It just opened in 2010, I believe, early 2010. It is a little bit off the strip. It's right across from Hard Rock, so a lot of people know where that is. So that's sort of the neighborhood where Rumor is. You're talking about 1 mile off the strip, not a huge deal. It is an adults-only property, so again, a great place for couples who are looking for something either a little romantic or a little sexy. It is only 2 stories tall, so like you said, it's not one of these big high-rises. It is built around a center courtyard that has a great pool. There's a bar out there, and the decor is just, all I can say is that it's really sexy, lots of black and white and splashes of purple. Really, really good-looking place, really, really slick. So we think it's going to really be growing in popularity in the next couple of years. A lot of people have not heard about it yet, but we really think it's an up-and-coming hotel that everyone should check out. 150 rooms, you know, small, intimate kind of place.
Now, as you said at the top, I mean, Oyster.com, you're not going to go to every city on the planet. You're going to the more popular, iconic cities, but telling us stuff we didn't know.
That's exactly right. In theory, ideally, we would be going to every city around the world, and hopefully one day we will. But for now, we are starting with the biggest destinations that everyone likes to travel to, and we're going to really tell you about all of the hotels there. So we will cover the well-known ones. It's not that we'll skip them. You can certainly research the famous hotels on our site. As you mentioned, in Vegas, there's places like Bellagio, Palazzo, Venetian, etc. We definitely do visit those places, and we do cover them on our site. But in addition, we're going to find those hidden gems for you.
Well, we like the hidden gems. This one right now, the La Terrada Lake Resort and Spa, is a hidden gem for me because I just discovered it. And now you've turned me on to a few in Beverly Hills, New York, and Las Vegas that I also like. So I much appreciate that. Jennifer Garfinkel, editor for Oyster.com, a website that'll go on my link. We really appreciate that, Jennifer. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. And for those stations sticking around, we got a whole lot more coming from the hidden gem called the La Terrada Lake Resort and Spa, Lake Conroe, Texas, in the city of Montgomery. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist.
Around the world.
Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
Welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful mid-February weekend wherever you happen to be. Last, because you know we were coming to you from Anguilla in the Viceroy. This time, get out your maps, boys and girls. 30 degrees, 23 minutes north, 95 degrees, 41 minutes west. You have no idea where we are, do you? I'm going to tell you, we're coming to you from the La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. That's in Montgomery, Texas, the third oldest town in the state of Texas. We're about an hour north of Houston, and we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And for those people who are East Coast elites like me, who don't believe there's bodies of water in Texas, how about this, 157 miles of shoreline on Lake Conroe that I'm looking out at right now. Lots of stuff in the news this week, of course, the continuing fallout from the events in the Middle East, as not just Egypt, but Bahrain and Yemen and Syria and Jordan are all struggling with the power of the Internet. And guess who's watching that more carefully than anybody else? The Chinese. The minute the Internet gets penetration outside the big cities of China, you thought Egypt was in trouble? Watch out. Stand back, call the authorities, and batten down the hatches, because governments that control communications stay in power. Governments that can't become governments of the people, and those governments go and they get replaced. And we're watching an unbelievable revolution that's happening. Now, having said that, if you go 40 miles outside of Shanghai, you're in the Dark Ages. And that's where the bulk of the population lives anyway. If you go 40 miles outside of Beijing, that's the Dark Ages. And the Chinese like running it that way because people don't know what they don't know. But it's certainly interesting to watch what's going on. And my philosophy on this, I've said it before, I will say it again. You can read my blog on our website, petergreenberg.com, as well as on the CBS website. Now is the time to go to Egypt. Do not wait. If you had plans to go before, don't cancel them. It's the fastest part of the infrastructure they'll get back on track, because the economic imperative is so strong. They depend almost entirely on travel and tourism to drive their economy. It's more than 10% of their GDP. It provides 20% of their jobs. They took a $1.5 billion hit over the last couple of weeks. They can't recover from that without our help, and we should be there to help them, because we all know that travel breaks down all the barriers. And my friends who were smart enough, and I will say they did take my advice, I had to yell and scream and kick them to make them do it, but my friends who took my advice and went to Egypt in the last 10 days had the best time they could ever possibly have, because they were at the pyramids by themselves, they were at the Sphinx by themselves, everybody was happy to see them, and the price was right. And they also got a chance to witness history unfolding before their very eyes. What a triple positive whammy that is. So that's the first item up for bids here on The Price is Right. And speaking of The Price is Right, batten down the hatches while you're going there, because airfares, at least in this country, are going way up, with airlines filling 87% of their seats, which means they're flying effectively full. The airlines have no intention whatsoever of decreasing price, especially if there's not that much competition. And for business travelers, they never want to decrease the price because they know you've got to go. So you're seeing business class airfares, meaning for business class in the front of the cabin, go up between 6 and 8%. They're not going to come down. And if you're a frequent flyer member, good luck trying to redeem those miles. You might as well go to the art supply store, buy a picture frame, and hang them on the wall. We talked to a guy last week who's been trying for 1 year to redeem his miles with Delta to go to Australia, and not a single seat available for 330 days. Now, you and I both know that not every plane is full, but no airline wants to displace revenue passengers by giving away the store, and yet we're all mileage junkies. We are all heavily addicted to these mileage programs, and as a result, we don't have a whole lot of hope out there to redeem miles on flights you want to go on. Now, do you want to go to Des Moines on a Wednesday at midnight? You're in. You want to go to, you know, Paris, London, Sydney, Auckland. You want to go to Rome? You know what? Good luck. And if you do get to go, the actual mileage level that you were induced to join the program because of, meaning saying, well, at 25,000 miles you get a free ticket, or at 40,000 miles you get a free ticket, suddenly becomes 50,000 miles or 80,000 miles, and there's no regulatory agency out there that can slap the airlines and make them stop. Because under deregulation, the airlines are not mandated by any federal rule nor state rule to disclose how many seats they have at any available price or how many frequent flyer seats they have on any available flight. And it's bad news. And here's what I think is going to happen. I think within the next 18 months, we're going to get some very creative lawyers who are literally going to get smart, and they're going to do a class action lawsuit against the airlines claiming that they are running what amounts to be an unregulated illegal lottery in their frequent flyer programs, because that's what they've become. You know, the inducement for you to join is that when you get to 25,000 miles, you'll be on a beach with a pina colada stuck up your nose. And guess what? At 25,000 miles, when you call up, they either laugh at you or tell you there are no seats available at 25,000 miles, but they have them at 50. That's called bait and switch, ladies and gentlemen. And if you were a Toyota dealer, you'd go to jail for that, because you're regulated by state governments. Airlines aren't. They've been given a free pass. And what are they doing in the process? They still want to redeem miles for you, but not for flights. How about a magazine subscription to Reader's Digest for 5,000 miles? You just spent $4,000 for a subscription to Reader's Digest. How about a box of chocolates for 6,000 miles? You just spent about $4,500 for 18 pieces of Godiva chocolate. You know, I don't care how good the chocolate is, that's ridiculous. So we're going to be watching this space in the next couple of weeks. I'm probably going to do a big piece on it on the CBS Evening News to give you an idea of the mathematics here, and we're going to run the numbers. And what you're going to find out is that the frequent flyer programs of the airlines actually make more money than the airlines make operating as airlines. Something is wrong with that. And sooner or later, they've already reached the point of diminishing returns. The real question is, have you? Are you angry enough? Are you mad enough to go out there and say, I got this credit card to earn miles to be able to fly. I bought this grocery store bag because I got miles. I refinanced my house because I got miles. I sent flowers to somebody on Valentine's Day. What an unoriginal idea, but you did, and you got miles. Now what do you do with them? I don't think you want to frame them. I think you want to use them. And you don't want to go buy a magazine subscription. You don't want to buy chocolates. It's the most inefficient use of mileage ever invented. In fact, if you use miles for upgrades, that's also inefficient when you consider how much money you spent to get those miles. All right, I'm done dumping on miles, but that's just for this show. Get ready. Next week, I'm going to dump on them again until we figure out how we beat the airlines at their own game, playing by their rules, because right now, we're not winning that game. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by a good friend of the show, a regular. You see him every Tuesday in the New York Times, Joe Sharkey, talking about what happens out there when you reserve a room, what happens when you get frequent flyer points you can't use, and, of course, a week in the life of Joe Sharkey. Back with more from the La Toretta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming from the La Toretta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. And if you don't know where that is, just land at the Intercontinental Airport in Houston and drive about an hour north on I-45, and you'll get here. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And as I do every week at this time, I encourage you to go to our website with the most imaginative name ever, petergreenberg.com, because we have on there a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all the hard work in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile. Remember, they had an earthquake too, and in the Gulf. And of course, in the particular case of Haiti, they really need your help. This is a rebuilding effort that will go on for at least the next 8 years. And the list is so exceptional because It's got things on there that you would never think you could get involved in, but you can. You can get actively, physically, and on location involved doing the best volunteer vacation you've ever had in your life because you get back so much more than you ever give. It's an amazing experience, and you will find on that list something that you can really relate to and get involved with. So please check that out once again by going to our website, petergreenberg.com. We've just witnessed, as we said at the top of this hour, all the events happening in the Middle East, stuff that's happening in Bahrain, in Yemen, in Algeria, of course, before all that, in Tunisia. And it brings to mind one of the most misunderstood two-word terms out there, travel insurance, meaning what's covered, what isn't, do you need it, should you pay for it, where do you buy it, and if you never need it, depending on the type of insurance. And joining me now is somebody who knows a little bit about that. You read him every Tuesday in the New York Times, a good friend of the show, our good pal, Joe Sharkey. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Peter, how you doing? I know just a little bit about that, which means that makes me dangerous because I don't know a whole lot about it. My guess is it's sort of like AAA. 25 out of 26 times everything goes smoothly, but, once in a while you run out of gas, so you have a flat or you get lost or you get stuck in the snow. So I kind of look at it that way. I just came back from a four-day trip, and I don't travel with as much grace and skill as you do. I just become a grouch when I have a trip that doesn't go well. I didn't need travel insurance, but everything about this trip.
No, you need grouch
really
insurance.
To talk to. I was on a panel. Let me just rant about this. I was on a panel at the FAA, and on the panel with me was a guy from Airbus, a designer of cabin. One of the people that designs cabin seats, and he's going on about how Americans are all too big, and that's why the seats are uncomfortable. And I said to him, the seats are 17 inches wide. Natalie Portman, in shape for that ballet movie, she doesn't fit into a 17-inch wide seat. And I'm coming back last night. I'll shut up in a second. But I'm next to a guy who's the size of a vending machine. He's not hugely obese. He's just a big man. And his arm took up 17 inches of space. So I'm just fit to be tied. I don't want to travel again for months.
Well, Joe, I've got the answer. I just want to buy vending machine insurance then.
Well,
I just don't want to sit next to a vending machine.
We should get something to eat. another thing, since we're on the subject, those airport announcements. When are they going to stop? I mean, I'm sitting there. I had to wait hours and hours in the at Dulles. And they got this announcement that drives me crazy about 10 airports that I know of have it, where this lady with this, who sounds like Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies, makes this announcement that do not be persuaded to accept packages from someone you do not know. And they say it every 10 minutes. And I'm sitting there and I'm ready to have a stroke. Like, how stupid do you have to be? When are they gonna stop that announcement? Find out for me, would you?
Okay, I'll get on that right now, Joe. But bottom line, you've seen in the last couple of weeks so many people saying, I want to cancel my trip,
yeah,
either because there's weather or because the plane got canceled before you got a chance to cancel.
80,000 flights since December were canceled.
Right. And the real question is there insurance out there that can cover that for you? Because the airlines, I always like it when the airlines say, we're going to make a special exception because we've canceled all these flights. We're not going to charge you to change your ticket.
I know.
Somebody brought that
in the press just recently. I saw that. Like, yeah, I know. They're not going to charge you the $150 change fee. Well, big deal. Put me on the airplane. I understand why a lot of flights are canceled, although there's a good argument that a lot of these flights are canceled in order to head off any fine for stranding people on tarmacs. But I gather that's where, I'm told since I've been starting to write about travel insurance, that's where travel insurance works for you. Because you got somebody, it used to be the airline would take care of you. You would talk to a human being who had the authority. And I'm not dumping on the airline clerks because Lord knows they have an almost impossible job. But they used to have the authority to fix problems. They don't anymore. So, I've kind of learned that that's sort of the point of travel insurance is, you got somebody to call, just for the routine stuff. And then, just forbid that you should be stuck in a situation, let's say in Tahrir Square in Egypt, where not that they were necessarily going after foreigners, although there's certainly some horrible, horrible cases where that did occur. you needed to get out, you know, who are you going to call there? And it turns out some of these, you know, I think, what is it? You there's a company you talk about. Is it MedJet Assist?
Yeah,
it's
MedJet Assist.
There's International SOS.
There's Travel Guard.
They're in business to fix your problem when you have a major problem. So, you know, I've gotten to the point where I'm kind of a believer now in travel insurance.
But, you know, you have to read the policies carefully. I'll give you one example. MedJet, of course, practices something called medical evacuation and repatriation insurance so that if you're sick or injured overseas, they will literally get you stabilized and then send a medically equipped jet to rescue you.
Right.
But here's the key, to fly you back to the doctor and medical facility of your choice.
There are
a lot of other medical evacuation policies out there, some offered by credit cards, others offered by independent organizations, that will fly you back to the medical facility and doctor of their choice. And the next thing you know, you're in a bad HMO in Rwanda.
Because they go to the lowest bidder. I hear you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you mentioned, you know, stuff happens. And you know, you and I have traveled enough to know that it's always a surprise when it happens. You know, like I found myself one day in the middle of the Amazon, and I'm like, what just happened, you know? So that's part of my that's sort of part of my standard travel drill now, is to plan ahead, maybe get travel insurance even for the little stuff, you know, for if you're stuck in Denver in a snowstorm and they jack the hotel rates up, well, you know, your standard basic everyday travel insurance will probably cover the extra money for a hotel that night. So,
you know, you mentioned the idea that, you know, nobody at the counter anymore has the authority to make things better. And
yeah,
I had
and
to laugh.
They just can't, you know?
And they can't because the fish stinks from the head. And I had to laugh when there was an announcement recently. I don't know if you saw the story, Joe, but it just cracked me up. That Delta Airlines is going to send 10,000 of their counter agents to charm school.
Yeah, I know.
And so that they can be smiling when they tell you they can't do something for you.
Right.
So they can
be
basically
smiling when they, you know, in those crummy jobs that they now have, which used to be good jobs, and have ceased being good jobs. I mean, I have nothing but sympathy for flight crews and for airline employees. What they've been asked to do over the past 15 years is astonishing. I don't know how they, you know, I said, I think I might have told you this. I said to one, I think it was a Continental ticket agent, I said to her, how do you get through this every day with people yelling at you? She said, I go home and I drink heavily.
I knew there was heavy medication in there somewhere. But seriously, if they're told they can't do anything for you,
what does
sending them to charm school going to accomplish?
I know. It just hassles them. It just makes them feel worse. You know?
Well, what it means is, you know what it is? It's a new protocol. I'll go up to the gate and say, please, can you tell me no? Thank you.
Right.
What else can I do?
I try to look as pitiful as possible, which is not hard, you know. But even that.
Well, you know what? You're right about their jobs. I mean, these guys get beaten up from both ends. They get beaten
they
up from
really
their management,
do.
And they get beaten up from passengers because the guys have to beat them up because management tells them to beat them up.
I know. So, I mean, traveling with as much grace as possible is a very good idea, but it's getting harder and harder. I don't want travel insurance. I want to hire somebody to travel for me.
I want stupidity insurance. I want somebody to insure me against the stupidity of airline management, the stupidity of airport management, the stupidity of rental car management. That's what I want.
Ain't enough insurance in this whole wide world, Peter, to cover that.
And on that note, you can read him every Tuesday in the New York Times when he's just as grouchy as he is now, but he always covers the story. Joe Sharkey from the New York Times. Joe, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Talk to you later. Travel with Grace.
I will travel with Grace as soon as
okay.
I can find her.
Take care.
As soon as I can find her. All right. Back with more from the La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. Peter Greenberg here. Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Back right after this. Say thank you.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming to you from La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. And if you don't know where that is, it's in Montgomery. And if you don't know where that is, it's about an hour north of Houston, Texas. We're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Looking out at Lake Conroe, I have to tell you, most people don't realize 157 miles of shoreline, and that's just for starters. And if you like boats like I do, then you're looking out at the lake a lot from here. One of the things I like to do on the show is talk to frequent travelers. We just had Joe Sharkey on the phone for the New York Times. He's the frequent grouchy traveler. And my next guest travels just a little bit to places like New York and Las Vegas and Phoenix and Kansas City and Portland and Nashville and San Antonio. I'm not going to ask her how many miles she's earned, but the bottom line is right now she's actually talking to us from San Antonio in Texas, and her name, Starley Murray. Hey, Starley.
Hi, Peter. Thank you.
Quick question for you. How many miles do you travel every year? I am going to ask you.
Well, let's see. That's 3 Louis Vuittons under each eye, so that's 6 Louis Vuitton little baggies. Oh.
I got it. Well, you know what? Speaking of Louis Vuitton, anybody I know who travels with a Louis Vuitton bag on an airline, I think, is an idiot.
Well, you know, you want to have a unique bag, but not a bag that says, yes, slash me open and steal my expensive things.
I have to tell you, many, many years ago, I was landing at LaGuardia. I had checked some bags, and standing next to me at baggage claim was the famous Italian designer Emilio Pucci. I'm going, okay, I can't wait to see what's coming off the conveyor belt with this guy. And I'm waiting, and other people are taking off their Hermes or some Vuitton. I'm saying, okay, what is this guy going to check? What comes around is the ugliest vomit green plastic suitcase. And he looked at me like, yeah, I'm always going to get this suitcase because it's the ugliest vomit green plastic suitcase. And he probably bought at Kmart, and off he went, and everybody else is waiting for their bag. So what do you actually travel with, Starley?
Well, I actually travel with a unique bag, but not one that someone would want to steal. It's not quite as scary as his bag, but I'd say that's a very ideal situation to have. Nobody's going to touch your valuable stuff. But I actually carry on everything that I need because I do a lot of TV appearances, and you know how it is. Live air doesn't stop for you, so if I show up empty-handed, I might not be invited back.
Well, then you embrace the same concept that I do, that there are only two kinds of airline bags, carry-on and lost.
Well, that's a good concept. My carry-on, though, is amazingly miniaturized and prioritized because I'm the most detailed packer you might have met. Or, I don't know. I've not seen your luggage.
Well, I don't check bags. I FedEx them.
Yeah, that's a good thing. We do that for our special events because it's a little too much to bring on the plane.
All right, but honestly, and I know I'm going to get some letters on this, but most women I know don't know how to pack.
Well, that's because they don't know me.
because they don't what?
They don't know me.
All right, so I have to ask you, you're going off on a 2 or 3 day trip. What's in that bag?
Well, I really do, first of all, miniaturize everything that I can in terms of everything from toiletries to electronics or what have you. And then as far as clothing, I make sure that there's just a couple of staples that you can accessorize several different looks.
So basically what you're saying to me is you've got the little black dress.
The little black dress. It works every time. And you're usually not seeing the same people from day to day to day. So you can do reruns and always look like you're hot off the press.
So if I bump into you at the airport tomorrow and you're wearing a little black dress, I can look at you and say, hey, Starley, day 4, huh?
I'll have a different scarf on. You'll never know.
What's the one thing you used to pack that you never pack anymore?
The one thing that I used to pack? Oh, I was going to go for my number one favorite. You couldn't pry out of my hands, but let's see.
Can I guess? Can I guess?
Yes, go ahead.
3 pairs of shoes.
I don't pack those. I wear the ones that I need, and I pack one other pair, and only if it's a red carpet event do I pack another pair.
All right, so now let's go back to the one you wanted me to ask, so I'll ask it. What's the one thing you won't leave home without?
Oh, yeah. That's the one people ask me all the time. Honestly, for toiletries, it's a little lip balm, and the reason why is because I get really dehydrated on the plane, so it's very emollient. I can put a little on my hands. I can put a little under my eye, use it as lip balm. You can even style your hair with it as a pomade. So it's just one of those, or aloe vera is a really good little, you know, a little miniaturized save you from being dehydrated on the plane. So I love those things.
Now, do you love Ziploc bags as much as I do?
I think more. I think a lot more than you, Peter, because I live in Ziploc. If Ziploc came to me and said, here, let us show you how to use Ziploc, I'd say, no, sir, let me show you how to use Ziploc. It is definitely a traveler's friend.
And when we say Ziploc, we're not talking about the little, like the crease locks. We're talking about the ones that actually zip, right?
That's right. And, you know, I'm a friend to those little miniature ones because so often we're bringing all these big pill bottles or things that are dry good items that we could store in these tiny little Ziplocs. You can get almost 100 things in your bag. It's amazing.
And I always travel with a flashlight with two extra cell phone batteries that are already charged. And last but not least, with one of those little stain removers like Tide to Go, because I'm always going to mess up a shirt somewhere.
Oh, yeah, Tide to Go works, that's for sure. We do all these interview image type TV segments, and if you've got stains on your shirt, nobody's watching you.
All right, well, we are watching you, Starling Murray. Thanks for joining us and giving us those tips. And remember, if you see Starling Murray at the airport in a little black dress, you have permission from me to say, hey, baby, day four, looking good. Hey, we'll be back with more from the La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. Back right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg coming to you from La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa on 150 acres on Lake Conroe in Texas. You got to come out and check this place out, and chances are you didn't even know it existed. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. For those people who tuned in a little late, earlier in the show I talked about the fact I used to live in Houston. And one of the very first stories I did when I was a correspondent for Newsweek living in Houston was I went out riding with the last of the Texas Rangers in northeastern Texas looking for cattle rustlers. And what an image that was of me riding into Idabel, Oklahoma, Hopalong Greenberg here, with Slim Ewan, the Texas Ranger. His wife's name was Red. And when your last name is Greenberg, you got a ponytail and a beard, and you're on a horse in northeastern Texas, you better get some travel insurance. Well, speaking of that, my next guest knows a lot about horses. He's the founder of the Cowboy Solution. His name is Don Hudson. Hey, Don.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. You're a horse guy.
Well, I hope so, yes.
Yeah. I end up getting on horses. I have to be honest with you. They usually give me a horse named Champ. You know where we're going with this. It takes one look at me. We get about 100 feet out of the barn, and it turns around at 90 miles an hour and runs back in with me holding on for dear life. What am I doing wrong?
The horse is looking to see who's the leader, and he figured it out real quick that you aren't.
Yeah, you can say that again.
And he's hungry.
Ah.
He's probably going back to eat.
So how do I fix that? I can't kick the horse. I can't whip the horse. This is not a good idea.
A horse has lived for 50 million years trying to figure out who he can trust and who's going to be the leader. And because it's such a critical importance to them who the leader is, they're going to look to see if you have the ability to lead. If you do not, they will. They will fill your hole. So what you're going to have to do is to go up there and go, no, we're going to go this way. No, we're going to go this way.
So basically what you're telling me is that the horses figured me out before I ever got on the horse.
That's why we use them. Yes, they're pretty good that way.
But I can also learn from that, can't I?
You most certainly can, yes.
And what am I going to learn?
You're going to learn that if you want to become a leader or if you're going to become in charge, you have to look at yourself first. You have to make the changes. And that's what the horses teach us. The horses teach us that we need to look in the mirror first to find out what we need to do to change so they can trust us.
Now, we know about the horse whisperers and the dog whisperers. I'm not a good whisperer. I'm just going like, help, please, be nice to me, don't throw me. We were just on horseback in Mexico, and I was on a horse that literally would not go forward. Okay, wasn't going back to the barn, wasn't going forward. And finally, we realized what was going on. He was so used to walking on the trail behind another horse, and you know where I'm going, right, that if we didn't put that other horse in front, he wasn't going to go.
He was looking for his leader.
Yeah. It certainly wasn't me.
No.
All right. So that was one of the things I had to learn, right? Get the other horse out in front of you.
Right. Yes.
But then I learned something else. On the way back, the other horse started to take off. And you know what that meant.
Yeah, he was going with his leader.
Whether I was on board or not.
Yeah, they're pretty good about establishing their own pecking order. And once they have that pecking order, that's the way it is until something major changes.
So how do you train somebody like me?
To ride?
Yeah.
Oh, it's easy. We have to first teach you what
First of all, heavily sedate the horse. No, okay.
No. This is where scotch comes in. The most important thing that we can teach you to become a rider is to learn how to learn what to do. It's not so much that you can't do it, it's knowing what to do. And people just think, oh, I can just get on and ride. I can say whoa and my horse stops. I can say go and my horse goes. And I've yet, in my 60 years of living, found one horse that could speak English. So it's knowing what you need to do.
Although when I was in Egypt, I found the horse that spoke Arabic. And all I kept on saying, yalla. And that means, that's Arabic for go.
Right.
Nobody taught me the Arabic for
to stop. Yeah, we have that problem a lot. Yeah, it's like we have people who bring me horses to work and work with them. And they say, I can get my horse to go. And I said, well, how did you get him to stop? I said, I never thought that part far ahead yet. So maybe we need to think about all that. Yeah, there's got to be a plan.
So how often do you actually teach people this?
I teach very little now anymore about teaching people to ride. Most of what we do with our horses now is to teach leadership. And we teach leadership. We have corporate groups that come out and bring. We're a very unique leadership development and team building program because we do use the horses in a very experiential moment.
Give me the website.
www.cowboysolution.com.
Cowboy Solution. Something I need to find.
That's right.
Don Hudson, the founder of Cowboy Solution, somebody who's going to teach me a lot more than just how to ride, how to lead, and, of course, my favorite two words, or my favorite three words, how to stop.
Stop.
All right, we'll be back with more from La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas, back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, coming to you from La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. Peter Greenberg with you, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you already know the drill by now, but I'll tell you anyway. Email me at peter@petergreenberg.com. With your name, phone number, question, or problem, we'll solve it right on the air. Now, imagine this. Somebody who's a vlogger, right? We know what that means, a video logger, blogger, who's had, I'm not making this up, 300 million views on YouTube, over 80,000 subscribers, and one of her videos, I have to ask her about this one, has been viewed over 30 million times. Wow. And she travels. Her name, Natalie Tran. Hey, Natalie.
How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you calling in from?
I'm in Mexico at the moment.
Where in Mexico?
I'm in Merida, so a really lovely part of Mexico, close to Cancun.
Oh, I know it very well. In fact, a lot of people sneak over to Cuba from Merida.
Yeah, well, I'm planning on doing that little escapade in a couple of days, so I'm very excited.
So now you're just like traveling around the world for Lonely Planet.
Yeah.
Doing your log.
Yeah.
And 300 million views?
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure it's a default in their counter system, but it's a pretty tough life, you know, traveling around the world and having fun and making videos. It's the worst. I need to start looking for a better job. But, no, it's been a lot of fun.
But, I mean, to be fair, your videos are not just traditional travelogues. You're literally making fun of stuff.
Well, it's actually been kind of an interesting experience because I make my videos on YouTube, but I've also been making a travel series for Lonely Planet. So, I mean, I've been making videos and then Lonely Planet have been uploading them. They're a bit more travel-oriented. But it's been an interesting experience because every time I get to a country, I get really worried that if I point something out, I'm going to get in trouble and my visa is going to be denied the next time I get there. So,
no, yeah. You can't look at it that way. You know what? The traditional definition of a travel writer, and by the way, it's a definition that I hate, is that if you can't say something nice about someplace, don't say it. No, you got to tell people the truth. Good, bad, or ugly.
Hopefully, I'm not touching too many sensitive subjects. I'm more talking about mullets and things like that. So hopefully
well, listen, one of my last books, Natalie, was called Don't Go There. It was my guide to all the must-miss places in the world, the places that actually suck.
Oh, how many countries did you dismiss?
Oh, it wasn't just countries. It was specific destinations within those countries or specific neighborhoods within cities. I think I got banned in about 12 different places. But wait, here's the good news. A very funny thing happened 10 days after I got banned. You know what happened?
What happened?
They invited me back.
Oh, wow. To improve your stay or to change your mind or?
Well, you know, it was funny because, you know, a lot of places I got involved in. Well, I'll give you one. There's one state in the United States that has 127 polluted rivers and lakes, and nobody ever guesses it because you wouldn't. It's Vermont.
Yeah.
And the governor of Vermont went nuts when my book came out, and he debated me on the air and said, how could you say that? Your job is to promote travel. I said, no, it's not. My job is to present it. And my job is to give people credible information upon which they can make some decent choices. He said, well, I don't like your sentiment. And I said to him, well, Governor, with all due respect, I don't like your sentiment.
How did he take that? Did you accept his invitation back?
Well, no, he didn't invite me back.
Oh, I see. Fair enough.
But you know what I was saying in that was, you know, I'm not telling people not to go to Vermont. I'm not telling them not to have their Ben and Jerry's. But before they jump in Lake Champlain, they might want to read the book. So you have my green light, Natalie, to say whatever you want to say.
Oh, thank you. They'll become very politically orange. No, from now on. But no, I'm just doing more kind of lighthearted videos, I guess. Just more. I guess little things that people tend to miss when they travel you don't think is important when you travel. You know, you turn around on the bus a couple of days after you've left somewhere and you go, did you notice that a lot of people, you know, were doing this or had this? Those kind of topics. So not as hard-hitting, but...
Well, you know what? What I find amazing is, and I have a pretty intense travel schedule. I think there's only one day this week I was not on an airplane. In the last 12 weeks, you've been to the Maldives, Singapore, Dubai, Egypt, Jordan, Paris, Buenos Aires, Miami, the Caribbean, and now you're in Merida in Mexico.
Yeah.
you better be single.
I've been dragging somebody along with me who is I'm sure regretting the offer. It sounds amazing to travel, but we've been very vigorously trying to capture as many fun things as we can while we've been going along the way.
Well, you know what Mark Twain once said, you learn a lot about somebody when you travel with them. So if you can drag somebody along for 12 weeks in all these locations and you're still talking to each other, you guys are totally locked. You're in great shape.
Oh, I hope so.
Where can we find you on the web?
Well, my travel videos are up on Lonely Planet's website. So if you go to lonelyplanet.com/Natalie, I think that I'm there. Otherwise, you can just go to my YouTube channel, which is Community Channel with one word.
And you can be the 300 millionth and one visitor. I love it.
To accidentally stumble across the page, yes.
Well, listen, I want to check out with you in about another 6 weeks to see, first of all, where you are and if you're still dragging him with you.
Well, we've been having, I don't know, there's been really interesting trips. I mean, really interesting experiences along the way, things that I wasn't really expecting. Like, we did a lot of traveling. I don't know if many people respect this kind of travel. We had a lot of mockery coming our way, but we did a cruise.
Well, you know what? We're gonna catch up with you when we come back.
Okay, sure.
In about another 2 weeks, we'll catch up with you, okay? Natalie, that music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. For those stations sticking around, we got another hour coming up from the La Toretta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. Back right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this middle weekend in February. Hope you're having a great time wherever you happen to be. I hope you've recovered from Valentine's Day. I certainly hope you didn't buy flowers or chocolates. You're more original than that. Maybe you took somebody on a very special trip. And speaking of special trips, let me tell you where we are. Get your maps out, boys and girls. 30 degrees, 23 minutes north, 95 degrees, 41 minutes west. We're at the La Tirada Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. We're about an hour north of Houston, Texas. Imagine, 150-acre location here, 21,000 surface acres on the lake alone. And it's quite a surprise for somebody who doesn't think there's water in Texas. Well, guess what? There is. And we're in it. And we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Lots of news stories this week, ranging from grounding 757s to the continuing fallout in Egypt. And then another story that happened that prompted me to get our next guest on the line because, you know, for years and years and years, the word timeshare had a dirty word. It was just bad news. It was sort of like, let's find a failed condominium and turn it into a timeshare, and then let's have the management leave town and everybody gets stuck with a bag. And then things turned around, and you had some really strong management come in with names that you know, whether it was Hilton or Marriott or Disney. Then they changed the rules so you could exchange them. You could trade the time and trade locations. No one got help holding the bag in that respect, even though the resale market was rather dismal. I would argue that it still is. And then this thing happened this week, which came right as a headline to me, that one of the companies that was, priding itself in managing these vacation ownership resorts, otherwise known as timeshares, basically saying, okay, we're getting out, and that is Marriott. And joining me now is somebody who's probably the preeminent expert in this business when it comes to timeshare or resort ownership, our good friend from TheExaminer.com. Of course, he's based up in San Francisco, Mark Silverman. Hey, Mark.
Peter, thank you for having me. How are you?
All right. You want to read between the lines here and tell me why Marriott is going to divorce court here?
I don't know about there's so much getting out of spinning it off into a separate company, which hasn't been unusual in the business. The exchange companies spun off into separate companies after forming these vertically integrated hotel car rental companies. They just spun off into separate entities so that one doesn't drag down the other's results and they can account for them better. Marriott's still responsible for 400,000 timeshare owners and 10% of the industry and 100,000 timeshare employees. It's just under a different name.
And what's interesting is about a year ago, if you looked at the annual report for Marriott, it was pretty dismal. This
right.
year, the financial results, at least for the fourth quarter, 22% higher than last year. That's huge.
Right, and timeshare results about $1.2 billion of that revenue. So it's a pretty good chunk. That's about 10% of their total revenue. And for most companies, a higher percentage of their profit line in addition to a high percentage of revenue.
Well, let me ask this question because we're looking at the real estate market in general. Up until about maybe 4 months ago, you'd see these duplexes and triplexes for sale in Miami that were selling, 5 years ago for $4.5 million that were now selling for like $600,000. And it seemed like such a great deal. And if you went and bought it, then you found out you were the entire homeowners association because there was nobody else in the building but you. And your monthly maintenance was enough to sink the Bismarck. And the same thing might be said, and please disagree with me if you want, Mark, about the timeshare business when it comes to resale.
Oh, no, there's no argument. The resale market for timeshare has always been abysmal. There's a number of reasons for that, almost too numerous to go into here. It's something that many are committed to trying to turn around, but the answers are not easy to come by.
And so what's the solution now?
Well, the solution is it's not an investment, and it's a great product if you're going to use it. If you're not going to use it, don't buy it. Don't buy it because it's going to be worth more. It's like your car. You get your car, you buy your car, you drive your car. You don't expect to make money when you sell your car, depending on how long you have it. You might sell it for $1,000 or $500, but you got your use out of it. Same thing with timeshare.
Well, the nice thing about the timeshare business, at least for most of them now, is you can basically exchange, locations.
Yeah. By the way, something you said that was interesting. I was talking to Howard Nussbaum, the head of the American Resort Development Association, the big industry trade group, and your image of timeshare is very much dependent on whether you're a boomer or Generation X or Generation Y type. If you're of a boomer or older generation, you've heard of timeshare and you usually think it sucks. If you're Generation X, Generation Y, you've heard of timeshare and you're either really open to it or you have a much more positive view of that. And that's in large part because of the entry-like companies such as Marriott and Disney and Hyatt since the 80s and 90s come to have dominated and changed the way the product has operated.
Or what happens if you just saw the movie Hangover? What do you think of timeshare then? No, just kidding.
I'm trying to remember the timeshare reference there, although...
There wasn't. I just made it up.
Okay, because South Park did a great timeshare sales booth a few years ago. That really nailed it. Every time you walked out of one door to get out of the presentation, you still ended up in front of the same two guys trying to close you, and it was so funny and, frankly, so dead on.
Mark, when was the last time you suffered through a four-hour timeshare presentation?
It's been about 2.5 years, and I do them for fun. Isn't that
really
sad?
Get a life.
I know, but, you know, when I go, I can't even pretend to be a prospect because I'm going, I ask too many weird questions that bust me right away or too many people recognize me, so I just have to be open and above board and I'm shadowing somebody else's presentation.
You see, I used to get these things in the mail saying I either won the Lincoln Continental, the color TV or the matching luggage or a free trip.
And it was always the matching luggage or the free trip.
That's what it was. And it was a free trip with matching luggage to sit through a four-hour presentation. They wouldn't let you out of the room.
But at least you could FedEx your matching luggage to the trip so you don't have to pay to put it on the plane.
Well said. I appreciate that. All right. Mark Silverman.
One other shift that you're seeing in the business is they're going so much less on incentive marketing, getting you there with the free gift, as opposed to having lesser value free gifts to people who are more interested in the product, and the gift is just as a thank you, not as a reason to attend. You get a better quality prospect.
All right, so basically you get lovely parting gifts and a copy of the home game. I got it. All right. Mark Silverman from Examiner.com will be following the Marriott story to see who else decides to spin everything off, because it should be very interesting to see what, not the resale market, but the sales market of timeshares in the weeks and months ahead. Mark Silverman, thanks again. When we come back, joined by our good friend Jane Engel, the assistant editor for the Los Angeles Times travel section, talking about getting out of a country when you know what hits the fan. Ring a bell? We'll be back with more from the La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas, otherwise known as Montgomery, Texas, otherwise known as you don't know where that is, and I'm going to tell you where it is. It's an hour north of Houston on the I-45, 150 acres on the lake. How cool is that? Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. And as we do every week at this time, I encourage you to go to our website, petergreenberg.com, for one very important reason, and that's our comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations out there doing all that essential and hard work in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and in the Gulf. It's an opportunity for you that you should not pass up to do something where you get to give back on vacation, otherwise known as a volunteer vacation, and I promise you, when you look at that list and see what you can actually get physically, actively, and on location involved with, you will thank yourself and you'll thank me, and you'll probably go back and do it again. It's the most exciting thing you could ever do for yourself because you're doing it for others. So check that out. It's archived on our website. The last 21 days, watching, and in my case, glued to the tube about the events unfolding in the Middle East, it's one thing to, you know, be in the comfort of your own home and watching it happen live and having the president say, you know, you're watching history unfold before your very eyes, which you are. What happens if you're actually on location there and the you-know-what hits the fan? Whether it's street protests in Thailand or the revolution in the streets in Cairo or what's happening in Bahrain earlier this week, what do you do? Our next guest, the assistant editor for the Los Angeles Times travel section, Jane Engel, did a very interesting article about, okay, getting out of a country when that country is in serious crisis. So, Jane, let's walk me through that. What do you do?
Well, a lot of the stuff that you can do for yourself, you can do before you leave. As with all kinds of travel, it's all about preparation, you know? Think about using a travel agent, but before you sign up with one, make sure that you have 24-hour emergency line access to them, or that at least you have expanded hours access to them. What is great about this, as you know, is if you book a tour or cruise through a travel agent, you generally don't pay them for it. This is really a free service that is right at your fingertips, and if you have a decent travel agent, they will help you get rebooked and help you get out of there.
You know what? I find that human contact, you know, so many people today were, oh, I'll go online. You're not going online in Egypt. They turned the internet off. You know, you need to get on the phone, and you need to work the phone, and you better get phone numbers that are, as you said, Jane, that are 24/7, where you're not going to get some answering machine or some voicemail. What do you also do on the ground there? Because let me give you my example, and I went on television and talked about this, and the State Department hated me for it. The State Department wrote letters to CBS and claimed I was misleading the American public. But it's been my experience, and I've been, as you know, traveling just a little bit. When I'm in a situation where the you-know-what hits the fan, the very last place I will ever go is the American Embassy. Because that's the very first place that gets shuttered, gets bunkered, gets surrounded, and basically you have no access to it at all. I go to the British Embassy or the Australian Embassy or the Canadian Embassy. Those are the guys who are the coolest guys in school. They'll take you in and they'll actually help you out. And the State Department got angry at me and said I was misleading the public because if you need a new passport or a visa, the Australian consular embassy can't help you. I said, I'm not talking about a new passport or new visa. I'm talking about when the you-know-what hits the fan and you need to get somewhere where you're going to get protected, I'm not going to the American Embassy. And the funny thing is, Jane, within 48 hours of the events unfolding in Cairo, would you believe the State Department actually issued a press release saying Americans who are in Cairo are advised not to go to the U.S. Embassy? I had to laugh.
Yeah. Well, you know, I assume it depends on what the situation is on the ground. I mean, on the one hand, the embassy was closed at one point. On the other hand, as you know, the U.S. State Department evacuated more than 2,300 Americans out of there, too. So it's kind of a mixed picture there. I certainly think it's worth it to enroll in the State Department's so-called Smart Traveler Enrollment Program. It's free. You give your passport info, your trip itinerary, emergency contacts, and if there is a mass disaster, it can serve as a way for friends and family to reach you or to get information about you. At least that's, you know, free. And
you know, I do agree with you on that. And in fact, I'll give you that website. It's www.travel.state.gov. That's how you register. And as
right.
Jane said, you give your passport information and your trip itinerary. It's always good to get the information out there, but you got to be really ready to read the street. You got to be really ready to look outside your window and go, is this a good idea to go down that street to get to an embassy that's already going to be blocked?
Yeah, exactly. That is a very good point. And one thing about the flights in Egypt as well is that the planes were sort of taking off when they could get supplies. The difficulty was, how do you get there? And when I talked to security experts at one point, they said, don't go to the airport. The roads are blockaded. It's extremely dangerous. If you are, just look around, stay in touch. But, I mean, if you look around and things are not safe, they said stay at home or stay where you are. If you've got food and water, where you are, stay there and let things flow over.
Plus, you know, in this situation, the internet was turned off or cut off. Phone circuits were basically jammed. You know, it was we were going back we're going back to the future on this one. It was basically, it was like an old fire brigade. People were just hand carrying messages for a while. And you're right. Sometimes it's just better if it's not broken, don't fix it. Just stay where you are.
Right. And I think, you mentioned the difficulties with the communications, which were extraordinary in this situation because of the internet being cut off and so on. One thing that people should be aware of is, they really want to take as many communications devices as they can just because of this situation. You want an international cell phone that you can make international calls on. Yes, the charges can be horrific on those phones, but if you are in the middle of a crisis, you don't care. And if you can't get a call through, text. Now, there's various technical reasons that this works, but basically, you try to call, the circuits are jammed, you can't get through. But if you send a text, many, many systems are going to hold that text and wait until the network clears, even briefly.
Jane, you're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right about that. I go back to the November 2008 shootings in Mumbai.
Yeah.
They didn't cut off the internet, but you couldn't get through on the phones because every circuit was jammed. And so I was basically communicating with my sources inside the Taj Hotel in Mumbai on BlackBerry, and it was instantaneous. They were giving me the play-by-play of the shooting, and I was going on the air reporting on it. Basically, it was the most weird thing because I was in New York getting these email messages from my guys inside the hotel saying, they've cornered the guys in the corner. They're going to go shoot it out with them. And we were getting a live feed from Indian television. And sure enough, there goes the tower on fire. But at least it was real-time information, and nothing beats that.
Oh, sure. I think another resource that people don't think about, most big travel insurance companies offer a 24-hour assistance line. As I point out, in this case, in the event of a civil unrest, you might not be covered by your travel insurance policy for that. Many of them exclude this, but, whether it is civil unrest, whatever the difficulty is, most insurers that I talked to said, yes, we have 24-hour assistance lines. If you have an insurance policy with us, we don't care if your plans are screwed up for a covered reason. Call us, and we can at least help you get rebooked. Again, that's free once
right.
You bought the policy.
Exactly. And you know what? You do have to read the fine print because there are three words that worry about me, that I worry about when reading these policies. Acts of God, that's one. And then the other exclusion, of course, was the famous force majeure. And the force majeure would be a riot, an insurrection, an act of civil disobedience. Not every policy reads that way, and not every insurance company interprets it that way. But in this world today in which we travel and in the global village in which we move from city to city and country to country, I think, Jane, you'd agree that you can get these guys down to a mutually agreeable definition of terms before you ever sign on the dotted line of that policy.
Well, at least if you're concerned about a particular situation, you can give them a phone call. One of the difficulties is, though, that it is subject to interpretation. If they've told you one thing in a phone call, really, and it's not written down, that does not count for much. But there are just a lot of people that don't even read the policy all the way through.
I know.
You've at least got to do that, as boring as it is. Get a couple of cups of coffee. These things run, 26 pages.
Yeah, I know. Get a case of coffee on some of these things. And then get somebody who can actually interpret the language for you, because I think it's intentionally difficult to read. I think they make it that way. Jane Engel, the assistant editor for the Los Angeles Times travel section, who doesn't have to get out of L.A. right now because something tells me things are just okay there. But I'll see Jane very soon back in L.A. Thanks, Jane. We'll be back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour from La Toretta Lake Resort and Spa here in Lake Conroe, Texas. Earlier in the show, we were talking about horses, and I had to make the admission I really don't know what I'm doing on a horse. And I also have another admission to make. I don't play golf. I drive a mean golf cart. I appreciate it. I will watch all the highlights on ESPN. I've seen some amazing shots. My next guest, you couldn't get more amazing in terms of his record. And he actually operates about 12 miles from here at the Woodlands, otherwise known as the Woodlands Inn and Country Club, from where we are right here at La Toretta. But listen to this, folks. The man holds the PGA record for more holes in one than anybody else on the planet. 51? 51?
Peter, I can't putt. I've got to do something.
Mansell Davis is his name, and he has a terrible voice for radio, as you can hear. Most people in their entire life are lucky if they get one.
Well, I mean, it truly is the shot of a lifetime. It's every golfer's most coveted dream, and I think it's one of those records somebody has to have, and I've just been blessed and fortunate to have it. I mean, I'm
sure
a good iron player, and well, bottom line.
And you sure didn't put, like, little magnets in the ball and then little magnets in the cup? There was no GPS system involved?
No GPS. Hey, I'm way too old for that. I don't even know what GPS means anymore. I mean, it's just one of those records I think literally somebody has to have.
All right, so you're the director of golf. So, look, okay, let's say I'm a golf fanatic, okay, which means I don't know how to play, but I'm, like, interested in the sport, okay? And I come to the Woodlands. The first question I'm going to say to you is, you have 51 holes in one. How do I do that? Train anybody to do that.
No, you can't. I mean, Sports Illustrated, I did interviews for years, and people would say, why do you think you've made that many holes in one? And I've always indicated that I felt differently on a par 3 tee shot hitting a 6-iron than I did on a second or third shot on par 4s or par 5s. And Sports Illustrated actually did an article and brought out sports psychologists and put sensors on me and measured my brain waves in Austin in 1985 or 6, and it turned out my brain waves were completely unique on par 3 shots.
Oh, stop.
Versus the others. So I don't know. I mean, I started making them at a very early age, at age 11 in West Texas, Odessa.
All right, so do you hear voices late at night?
Oh, no, I love it, man. I just visualize so much on a par 3, it's scary. I mean, it ended up, I got a local newspaper written, and then went from there to Golf Digest. And the next thing I know, they're flying me from Odessa, Texas, where I grew up. I didn't know what a tree was till I was 13.
Well, we know that about Odessa.
Yeah, to New York for the old TV show called I've Got a Secret on CBS.
And, Gary Moore.
Actually, Steve Allen had just taken over.
Ah, see,
him.
But it was Gary Moore. Yeah.
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah. All right, but here's my question. I go back, and this is where legends get started, on urban myths as well. And you know the story I'm about to tell you, but you didn't know I was going to tell you this. The famous story about Babe Ruth getting up to bat and pointing to where he was going to hit the ball and then hitting the home run. Have you ever been on a golf course and somebody says, okay, smart person, let's see you
You're
do
being
it.
Nice.
Hey, come on. You know, there were three letters coming after smart, but we
yes,
weren't going to say them.
I got you.
And you go, watch this. Have you ever done it?
True story. Abilene, Texas, Maxwell Golf Course, junior golf event, PGA Tour, junior tour. Eighth hole, 212 yards. I got up over the golf ball. I'm hitting a 3-wood. The wind is blowing, which was not unusual out there, obviously. And the shot that I visualized in my mind, I'm a big visualization believer, I saw this low draw going in down low below the wind, turning right to left. And I got over it, and as I got over, I saw it going in the hole, and I backed away and said to my friends that I was playing with, Chuck Runner, Stranger, and the kids' names. But I went, I feel like I'm going to knock it in. And we laughed, and I got up. Peter, I hit the exact opposite shot. I made the biggest over-the-top golf swing you can imagine. I hit it high left. The wind brought it back. It hit short of the green, 30 yards, bounced and rolled in the hole. So it was 180 degrees opposite of the shot I was trying to hit. But at least I called it.
That's like the pool player saying, I'm going to hit it off the 4 ball, the 8 ball, the 9 ball, and the record stays off the wall.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. I mean, if it goes in, it goes in.
That's how I play golf. And guess what? It doesn't go in.
I've got a feeling you're a lot better than you're leading on.
No. I'm even bad at miniature golf. This is bad.
Not going for it, Peter.
Okay.
Not going for it.
51 official holes in one. I won't even ask about the unofficial holes in one.
You know, I do the King of Aces outings around the world, and I've had another, you know, probably 12 to 15 doing those outings, but those don't count because I'm on the same hole all day, hitting a shot with each other.
I sure hope you're playing for a lot of money. I sure hope you.
Well, I represent National Hole in One Association, which is the insurance company, so I'm not eligible for the big prizes anyway.
Oh, okay.
So it works out well.
Mansell Davis, I'm telling you, this is cool. 51 holes in one. Even when they're not supposed to go in, they go in. I'm worried about you.
It's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal at all.
No, and you're at the Woodlands Inn, right 12 miles from here.
Well, we're 12 miles, but we're at La Toretta, as you know.
Yeah.
And, Al Luciano has put together an incredible weekend endeavor out here at the resort. And I'm just proud to be part of it.
All right, well, I couldn't even do one hole in one. Get out of here. Mansell Davis, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. And I'm not playing you for money. Ever. Back with more.
I need suicide.
Back with more Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 43 minutes after the hour, coming to you from La Toretta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas, which is in Montgomery, Texas, and you have no idea where it is, but we're about an hour north of Houston, Texas, and at this point in the show, I always like to do one of my, ask the locals ideas. And, of course, who better to do that than my next guest? But let me just give you an idea of where we are. We're at the junction of State Highway 105 and Farm Road 149. Are you writing this one down? It's the third oldest town in Texas. And how about this? One of the best places in the country to go antique shopping. Who knew? My next guest knows. She's actually the board member of the Montgomery Independent School District, which means you're a local girl. Brenda Bevan. Hey, Brenda.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So would you agree with me that most people listening to the show have absolutely no idea where we are right now?
That's probably true. Even people in Houston don't know where we are sometimes.
Well, and you like it that way, don't you?
Sometimes.
But, I mean, what is particular about Montgomery that keeps you here other than antique shopping and knowing that you're at the junction of a farm road?
Well, I've been a history teacher for 26 years, and the history here is incredible. At least it's incredible for Texas. We were one of Stephen F. Austin's original colonies, and out of all the cities or the little towns they had, we are the only one that is still a growing town, and we're growing in leaps and bounds.
Is it true that this is the birthplace of the Lone Star Flag?
It is, yes. Charles B. Stewart designed it, took it to President Lamar of the Republic of Texas. And
now we're really going back.
Yep.
President Lamar of the Republic of Texas.
That's correct.
They don't tell me that the words "don't mess with Texas" started here.
Oh, they started here. It had to do with the littering of Texas, but I think most people in other states think it has something else to do with Texas.
Yeah, no kidding. Goes back to 1837?
Yes. The town did. It was started, W.W. Shepherd started the town and named it Montgomery. And there were people living here before who also claimed the name to Montgomery, too.
Now, one of the things I like to do whenever I get a chance is to let people know about parks they didn't know about, either state or national. You've got one here that's huge.
Right. We have the National Forest right up 149, and there are trails that you can walk through
there. That's the Sam Houston.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And the thing is, people don't know about it. Yeah. Most of my friends, if you mention Big Ben, they go, "What's that?" Right?
Right.
Now, Big Ben's not around here, but Sam Houston is.
Yes, and Sam Houston was the hero of the Battle of San Jacinto, which made Texas an independent country for 10 years.
Of course, the president of the famous Republic of Texas.
That's exactly right.
Don't mess with Texas.
That's right.
What's the biggest surprise when people come here that they're not expecting to find?
I believe the biggest surprise is that the town is still the way, a lot of it is still the way it was when in the 1800s.
You mean like a trading post?
Yes. You can walk down the streets, and there's the old State Bank, which was built in 1906.
Is it still operating as a bank?
It is not. It is actually a winery now. As a teacher, I started something, a scavenger hunt, where the kids, all seventh graders, had to go out and search and find these examples. And unfortunately, this year, this bank had turned into a winery, and I had 500 seventh graders going into a winery, which wasn't good.
I understand they're still in there.
Yeah, they probably
okay,
are. There's just a vault.
Okay, yeah. Which is now the wine cellar.
Right.
Okay, so you've got the old bank.
Yes.
What else?
The Historical Society owns seven houses, and those, not all of them are open. Inside the town, there are houses that were started in the 1840s and 1850s. During the second weekend of December, many of those houses are open for a tour that you can come to. In addition, we've started something called Fernland Historical Park, where we've moved in log cabins, and there will be living history there starting this in the summer.
And a bunch of drunk seventh graders.
I hope not.
I'm just checking. I just, you know, when you send these kids to the bank.
And, I know. Yeah. It was bad.
That's Ferris Bueller's Day Off Part 2.
It was.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Is there a museum?
There is. The Nathaniel Hart Davis Museum is located in the downtown part of Montgomery. And it has been furnished with articles that are of the period of the time of the 1850s.
Any admission price?
No. We just hope people come.
And then you bring your own wine with a seventh grader? And
that's right. You go across the street for that.
That's right. It's a BYO.
Yeah.
I gotcha. All right. Brenda Bevan from the Montgomery Independent School District. Continue to talk about the history. You know why? Because if you don't remember the past, you right. can't deal with the present.
Right. That's
right?
Correct. That's what we tell all those kids out there.
That's right. They'll drink no wine before it's time.
Right, yeah.
Okay, we're done with that joke.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks, Brenda. When we come back, lots of your voicemails and emails to deal with. So coming back to La Toretta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas, otherwise known as Montgomery, otherwise known as Get to the Bank. I understand they've got wine there.
Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from La Toretta Lake Resort and Spa in Lake Conroe, Texas, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And we've got lots of emails to get to, so let's go right ahead to Matthew from Boston, Mass. My fiance and I will be traveling to Honolulu on our honeymoon. Congratulations, Matthew. We are debating whether to fly first class or not. You're on your honeymoon. You want to start off and coach with your wife? Are you nuts? He says, does it make sense to book first class now or buy economy tickets and upgrade down the road? Here's the problem, Matthew. Almost everybody in first class going to Hawaii is upgrading anyway, and they're doing it as far in advance as they can because it's so tough to do it. Do yourself a favor. Your new wife is going to thank you for this. Do that now. All right? Even though you're not traveling until July, get on that list now. Buy the first class ticket now. Or if you want to take your chances and upgrade now and put in for it now, okay. But I'm just telling you, you know, you want her to be happy. Okay? That's all I'm going to tell you. So do it now. From Marty in Fairbanks, Alaska. What do you see as the worst bait and switch misleading? I love this letter. What do you see as the worst bait and switch misleading, deceptive, corrupt, flim-flam come-on being pulled on an unsuspecting public for travel? Please name names. Thanks. Marty, it's easy. The frequent flyer programs. It's become a game that you can't win. What's the point of a loyalty program that doesn't reward you for your loyalty? What's the point of earning miles if you can't redeem them? And everybody knows it's sort of like going in. Are we all delusional? I'm waiting for somebody to really get slapped on this because there are 17, are you writing this down, Marty? 17 trillion unredeemed miles out there. And that's not fun. Denise from Portland, Oregon. My big gripe about which hotels this are? Is, oh, I guess She's talking about one particular brand, but she didn't spell it out. I don't think I've ever been in another city where there are the price. Oh, Santa Barbara hotels. Okay. My big gripe about Santa Barbara hotels is how run down most of the expensive ones are. I don't think I've ever been in another city where the price you pay does not match what you really end up getting. Oh, yeah? I can give you about 20 cities where the hotels are run down and overpriced. The best thing to do about going to a place like that, which is a very favorite weekend place, is don't go to the expensive hotels. Go to the mid-level B&Bs and go during the middle of the week when they're empty and you own the joint. Here's one from Peter, great first name, Oakland Township, Michigan, heading to Riviera Maya. In the past, I've seen guys on the beaches selling professionally packaged Cohiba cigars, a dozen per case. Are these legitimate or repackaged cheaper brands? A lot of people go to Mexico, and a lot of people buy what they think are Cuban cigars. Cohibas have been traditionally, and when I say traditionally, I'm talking about the last 10 years, rebranded and repackaged. And not only that, if you come back with those labels on the cigars, whether they're repackaged or not, you're not allowed to buy Cuban products and bring them into the United States. So either way, you're in trouble. What most people do, and I'm only reporting on this, I'm not encouraging you, I'm just reporting on it. What most people do is they go abroad, and if they're going to buy Cuban cigars, they cut the labels off, and they put them in an unmarked humidor and bring them back that way. That's about the only thing I can suggest you to do, whether they're repackaged or phony or not. So I hope that's helpful. Here's one from a man named Tyne. I'm booking an anniversary cruise in May through Carnival. I'm also going to book a September cruise with my girlfriends through Carnival. Is there a way to get some kind of discount? No. It doesn't work that way. Unless you're booking at least 10 to 20 cabins, because you're booking 10 to 20 cabins, then you basically get one or two cabins for free and you go through their sales department as opposed to a regular travel agency. But if it's just a couple of girlfriends or a husband and wife situation, probably not. And it's an anniversary cruise, which means you got to go either way, buddy. Otherwise, you'll be in the same flight to Hawaii with Matthew, wondering why you didn't book first class. So bottom line here is you don't have to book that far in advance if you know the seasonality of the trip you're going on, because remember, an unsold cruise ship berth is revenue that cruise line will never recoup once the ship sets sail. So there's a lot of close-in booking where you can get some great discounts. However, for budgeting reasons, no matter how much the cabin is discounted, please follow my formula. Let's say the cabin's $600 for the week, which a lot of cabins are, which is less than $100 a day. Okay, fine. Now take that $600 and multiply it by 2.5, because that's about what you're going to pay by the time that cruise comes back to the port. Because of all the ancillary revenue they're going to get from you, from the bar, the climbing wall, the casino, the spa, the shore excursions, the ice cream shop, everything that's not part of the basic deal, which is basically your three meals a day in the general main dining room, and your bed. That's how it's priced. Cruise lines don't really make a lot of money on the cabins. They make it on everything else. They make it on what they call the onboard spend. So if you want to take that anniversary cruise, whatever that fare is, that, or even if it's discounted, multiply it by 2.5, and that's 2.5 times per person, not per cabin. And I hope that's been helpful to you. And let me know what happens when you come back. Run the numbers for me, okay? That music means we're out of time for the show. I want to thank a lot of people here. Jeff Ryder, of course, working the boards in New York. Orlando Valdivia, I got your name right, didn't I? Man who's been handling the boards right here in Texas. Of course, Jessica Silverman, our field producer here in Texas. Shelley Goncharowski, our senior producer in Seattle. Jackie Carnero, Jennifer Garner, and the entire staff of the La Tureta Lake Resort and Spa. We'll see you next week, guys. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.